Hey, good morning, everybody. Y'all stand with me this morning, would you? I thought to myself this morning, I asked Lauren if I could open, how beautiful is the body of Christ? How beautiful is the body of Christ? I don't have much time for believers that don't love the church, the redeemed of the Lord. And we're united not by our successes, but by His grace. His name is great. His name is great, and it's ours. Today, great grace is upon you, whether you know it or not. Great grace is behind you, whether you know it or not. Here's one of my favorites. Great grace is above me, whether I know it or not. And the reason you're standing today is because great grace is under you, whether you know it or not. I want us just to, you know, there's different settings and different styles for each day, but I want us just to take a couple of minutes and quiet our heart. My friends Dave and Beth are with us, and I won't say which one, it's probably all of them, but my kids go, oh, they're going to be there today. They always have prizes for us. Now, if you can receive this, you know, the Bible says much of us miss the kingdom because we're not like little children anymore. You tell me that the Lord knows all things and knew I would be here today and wouldn't have something for me. They may not be prizes, but they may be wonderful. So would you just quiet your heart and prepare yourself and say, Lord, whatever you desired and whatever you planned on today, I want that for my life. Would you just quiet yourself this morning? Where would I be, O Lord, without your grace? My hope is in you. My springs are in you. My life is in you. My future is in you. And I don't want to just be a son, O Lord. I want to be an honorable son. I want to be a faithful son, an effective son. And if I can be a little boy for just a moment, I just know that you have a prize for me today. Based on your heart and your knowledge of me and your knowledge of us, you have prepared something for us in this house. But before we open our gifts, we want to bring you a heart of gratitude. We want to offer you our praise, our thanksgiving, for you alone, O Lord, are worthy of all of the worship and all of the praise. So as we sing about you, please remember that we know who you are while we're singing. Blessed be your great name this morning. And all of God's people said, amen. Would you honor the Lord this morning? Bless your name, O Lord.
The day. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Lord. I love to be in His house, and I'm so grateful to get to be here with y'all. I was, those words, oh my soul, bless His name. Didn't say if I feel like it. It said bless His name because He's worthy of it. I want to read a scripture to you. It just goes with that song so great. It says, you will show me the way of life, granting me the joy of your presence and the pleasures of living with you forever. And that's Psalm 16:11. And the thing that I love the most about it is it doesn't say you're going to be happy always and that there's not going to be an issue, that there's not going to be just a valley or a dark season that you're going to walk through. It just means we don't walk through it alone. We have the joy of His presence. We have the assurance of knowing when it's hard, when anxiety is just staring you in the face, that it's defeated and that He's with us. And we can stand in that. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Lord. I am just overwhelmed today by the goodness and the greatness of our King. What a Savior. He is so, so great. And this is so cool because I thought, Lord, thank you so much, Pastor John. Just in opening us up was just, it was an echo of what is in my heart. I love how the Lord does that. And a verse that I wanted to read to you guys too, is Psalms 145, 1 through 3. I just love the Lord so much. He says, I will exalt you, my God and King, and praise your name forever and ever. I will praise you every day. Yes, I will praise you forever. Great is the Lord. He is most worthy of praise, and no one can measure His greatness. How good is the Lord? And there are just times, and I know that we have to proclaim. I want that to be what today is. It's just a proclamation of who He is. He is our joy as we sing this next song. He is the Father to the fatherless. His name is so great. We have the name of Jesus that we get to stand on, that we get to, look, there's no greater name. And we have it because of who He is. Like, thank you, Lord. He's so good. He's our Redeemer. He's our Restorer. He's our shelter when we need it. And in His house today, I just say, Lord, we love you. We exalt you. We magnify your name. And we thank you, Jesus, for who you are. We thank you that we get to call on your name. What? I'm overwhelmed that we can come and stand in your presence and worship you. What a gift. Thank you so much, Lord. What a gift. You are so good, Father God, and we honor you. We honor you in your house, Jesus. Thank you.
Lost are saved. Find them. The sound of your great name, all condemned, feel no shame at the sound of your great name. Every fear has no place at the sound. Your great name, the enemy, he has to leave at the sound of your great name, Jesus. Mm-hmm.
Today in your house, Father God, there is nobody like you. You are so mighty. You are so holy, God, and you are so good. And we just worship you, Father God, in your house. Do what only you can do, Jesus.
Praise, our hearts will cry, these bones will sing. Praise,
weeks ago, we celebrated resurrection. And a couple of weeks after that, in John chapter 21, we find the disciples, Peter, namely, standing on a seashore, or looking out over a sea. And I wonder what he was thinking. How did this become my story? How did a man of faith become such a coward? And what's going to happen next? And then Jesus. Jesus shows up on that same shore. Peter and the disciples are out on a boat. Jesus calls to them. They catch a bunch of fish after fishing all night. And Peter jumps into the water, swims to shore to come face to face with the Savior he had betrayed. The story of a coward standing before the story of a Savior. And Jesus said, "Sit down, let's eat." And they shared breakfast together. Three times Jesus said to Peter, "Do you love me? Then feed my sheep. Do you love me? Then feed my sheep." A third time. And what we now know is that Jesus wasn't giving Peter a quiz. He was rewriting his story. On that same shore, the story of a coward changed to be the story of the rock Christ would build the church on. And you are no different than Peter, and neither am I. Are you going to let Jesus rewrite your story today? And if you're in a season that you're standing on the shore wondering what in the world happened, I want to tell you what happened. Jesus has positioned you to rewrite your story. The only question is, will you let him? 25 years ago this week, I came to Christ Chapel, and that was my story. How did I get here? What's going to become of me? A minister that had walked away from the body of Christ, and I got to stand on the seashore here with my pastor, and Jesus rewrote my story. Friends, if you're struggling, if you're hurting, if you're asking the question, how did I get here? I want to invite you to ask the question, what is the story Jesus plans to write? And will you let him? Can I pray over you this morning to close out our worship? Dear Heavenly Father, what a privilege it is to stand in this house and pray over this body of believers. I thank you for all of the stories you have rewritten at Christ Chapel. And I pray over my friends today that wonder, what is to become of my story? God, if you can build the church on the back of a coward, what could you do with my story? I pray over those in this house that might be struggling. I pray that they would hear from Peter's story to give you a chance to rewrite their lives with the story of grace and mercy and promise and forgiveness. I pray that those broken souls today would have the courage to sit next to you and have a conversation and give you the chance to rewrite the story today. What a scandal your grace is. And I pray that we don't miss one moment of it. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. We're going to take just a few moments to greet one another. So find a friend next to you, hug a neck, shake a hand, and welcome a visitor today.
Living in Guys, if you guys will go ahead and make your way back to your seats, we can get started with the rest of our announcements this morning. Good morning, guys. If you're a first-time visitor with us today, I just want to introduce myself really quickly. My name is Kelly Wood, and on behalf of my husband, John, who's the senior pastor here, and the rest of our staff at Christ Chapel, we want to welcome you and say good morning. We are so very glad that you've chosen to worship with us today. And if we happen to miss you as you walked in the front doors, I know our greeting team prays and plans for your visit every single week. If we happen to miss you, if you'd please do me a huge favor, we don't want the day to go by without getting a chance to say hello and telling you what we've got going on at our church for families here. So if you'll stop at that greeting table in the foyer on your way out, there'll be someone there. We'd love to answer your questions. We'd love to put a small gift in your hand. But most of all, we just want to make sure that you're seen and known and that you're welcome today. And we are so glad that you're here. Before we get started with the rest of our announcements, I want to take a quick second. I know John alluded to this a couple of minutes ago, but our very dear friends, Dave and Beth White, who are part of the foundation of Christ Chapel when God was building this church. They are just key parts of it, and they mean a lot to us personally. They are wonderful friends, and they left Christ Chapel almost 14 years ago to go and pioneer a church in Galax, Virginia, and I would love to take a second for them to come up and introduce themselves or say hello if you know them, and just tell us a little bit about what's going on at Christ Chapel Galax.
Thank you. It's so good to be back. And my favorite thing about being here is how many faces I don't recognize.
Right.
I love that there's so many new people here over the last decade that we've been gone. So Dave and I served on staff with Pastor John. I served as his associate pastor for 10 years. Dave was our children's pastor for 7 of those years when we moved here. And we moved back to our hometown to start the first Christ Chapel Campus Church out of the state of Virginia, or out of the state of Georgia. We are in Galax, Virginia. It's a small town in the mountains. We started 13 years ago, and we've grown about 100 a year for the last 13 years.
Amen.
And that's insane.
Yes.
So our city only has around 7,000 people, and our church has 1,000 of those. But the most exciting number I can tell you is zero.
Yep.
Zero is the number of services we've had in 13 years that someone did not accept Christ every single weekend. And so that's the number we really give God all of the glory for. Yeah. If you're new to Christ Chapel, or if you've been here a while, I want to tell you a secret about your pastor. You can trust him. This is a safe place. It's a safe place to ask questions. It's a safe place to be wounded. That is and was our story. And even as a key part of Pastor John's staff, the minute Dave said, "I think God's speaking to us about moving," Pastor John said, "How can I help?" And so I just want to encourage you that your mission statement is not just words on the wall. It's the life that your pastor and your staff lives. And every life that has found Christ in the Blue Ridge Mountains of Virginia carries the thumbprint of Christ Chapel,
yes,
Macon. And so we thank you for that. Did I miss anything?
I don't think so.
It's hard to tell 13 years of story in 3 minutes or less, but I know you have a word for us, so we're going to... Are you coming back?
She's coming back.
You have some more announcements. Oh, well, why did we bring him up here with me?
Oh.
On the way up, he said, "You do the talking because I'm preaching."
Gotcha. Yeah. I understand. Guys, first of all, if we'll go ahead and play our announcement video so we can know what's going on at our church this next couple of weeks, and then our usher, and then we'll come and give our tithes and offerings.
Good morning. Coming up on April 26th, we will have Baptism Sunday. If you or someone you know would like to follow the Lord in water baptism, please make sure to sign up on the app. Also on April 26th, we have a big day at Christ Chapel, y'all. We are having the cake auction, and this is one event that you do not want to miss. Come have cake with us, bring your money, and let's help send kids and youth to camp. Coming up on May 17th, we are having a wonderful big family day. So make sure that you come after church. We're going to have the grill out. Make sure that you bring some food. There's going to be bouncy houses. Bring a chair, bring a tent, all the things that you need, and let's all hang out together. For more information, check us out at ChristChapelMacon.com, our Facebook page, Instagram page, and the CC Macon app.
Now we have our time of giving our tithes and offerings. So as the music plays, we've got our baskets here up front. If you'd pray over your giving as a family, and then Pastor Dave will come and preach.
Kelly and Amy would be sharing last week, I asked Dave, since he was already going to be in town, would he preach the word of God to us? I always knew of their heart and ministry, but I am humbled at the work of God that they've done in Galax, Virginia. It is a lighthouse to that area. It's a triage. And those of you that are older, you understand what I'm about to tell you. When you hit a home run, it's wonderful. But when your kids hit a home run, you feel like $10 million. And they are two of the most precious memories I have in ministry. And to say I'm proud of them is a gross understatement. And honored to be their friend. And for the years that we shared, Beth carried much of the burden of this house during my dark years. And I'll forever be indebted and grateful to them. And they are precious to me. And Dave has never preached here before. And he said, "You want to know what I'm preaching about?" I never ask. And I said, "Yeah." And he told me just a little bit. Now, you know your pastor doesn't use the words excited, and he's not a hype guy. Open your heart to hear the word of the Lord this morning. Amen? Dave, will you come?
Eye candy. That's what he said. That's funny. All right. But to say I'm excited would be such an understatement, to be in this house with you guys. Not to go too far back, because I get emotional when I go this far back, but took a chance. John took a chance on some kids that were broken and done with you people. We did not like you people at all. We were okay with the Lord, but we were done with church and church people. And we had some great friends that didn't let us quit and directed us to this house, and it saved. I think it saved our lives, and not being dramatic, it definitely saved our life in ministry. The house that we have the privilege of pastoring in Galax, Virginia, our hometown, would not exist without John Wood and Christ Chapel. And we are forever grateful for that. And also, I do love the fact that I look around the room and there are so many new faces, so many people that God is directing to this house. I truly believe you have the best pastor right here, not just in Macon, Georgia, but in the world. And his wife, Kelly, praise God for them. And I don't use words without meaning, and I mean that from the bottom of my heart. Thank you. Love you. All right. The message I have for us today is the word that the Lord gave me for our house on Easter Sunday. And this is not a resurrection message, far from it, in a sense. I think it will make sense to us in the end when you hear what the Lord wants to speak to us today. Has any preacher ever preached about Nebuchadnezzar on Easter resurrection Sunday? Nobody? Okay. All right. Let's do it. Our first scripture is in Daniel chapter 4, verse 1. Follow along with me, if you will. King Nebuchadnezzar sent this message to the people of every race and nation and language throughout the world. Peace and prosperity to you. I want you all to know about the miraculous signs and wonders that the Most High God has performed for me. I, Nebuchadnezzar, was living in my palace in comfort and prosperity. Key words. But one night, I had a dream that frightened me. I saw visions that terrified me as I lay in my bed. So I issued an order calling in all the wise men of Babylon so that they could tell me what my dream meant. When all of the magicians, enchanters, astrologers, and fortune tellers came in, all the wrong people came in so that they could tell me what my dream meant. They couldn't. They could not tell me what it meant. At last, Daniel came in before me, and I told him the dream. While I was laying in my bed, this is what I dreamed. I saw a large tree in the middle of the earth. The tree grew very tall and strong, reaching high into the heavens for all the world to see. It had fresh green leaves, and it was loaded with fruit for all to eat. Wild animals lived in its shade, and birds nested in its branches. All the world was fed from this tree. Then, as I lay there dreaming, I saw a messenger, a holy one coming down from heaven. The messenger shouted, "Cut down the tree, lop off its branches, shake off its leaves, and scatter its fruit. Chase the wild animals from its shade and the birds from its branches." Look at this. "But leave the stump and the roots in the ground, bound with a band of iron and bronze and surrounded by tender grass. Now let him be drenched with the dew of heaven, and let him live with the wild animals among the plants of the field for 7 periods of time. Let him have the mind of a wild animal instead of the mind of a human. This is what the dream means, Your Majesty, and what the Most High has declared what will happen to my lord the king. You will be driven from human society. You will live in the fields with the wild animals. You will eat grass like a cow, and you will be drenched with the dew of heaven. 7 periods of time will pass while you live this way, until you learn that the Most High rules over the kingdoms of the world and gives them to anyone he chooses. King Nebuchadnezzar, please accept my advice. Stop sinning and do what is right. Break from your wicked past and be merciful to the poor. Perhaps then you will continue to prosper. But all these things did happen to King Nebuchadnezzar. So, the king has a dream, and what he saw, it terrified him. He saw himself high and exalted and lifting up the source, if you will, for mankind, right? Very successful, very powerful. However, he had elevated himself above God Almighty, and he lost everything for 7 years. But notice, God didn't completely destroy him. God left him with a protected stump wrapped in bronze, because there will come a day when I will visit this stump again, and I will bless it, and I will cause life to rise out of it again. And here's what I want to tell us today, is the God that we love, the God that we serve, he is the God of what you have. He has given it to you, or he has allowed you to have it. But he's not just the God of what you have. He's the God of what you've lost. God is sovereign, and he is in control. And as soon as we get on board with that and understand that he is the one who makes the decisions ultimately in the life of the Christ follower, if you have lost anything in your life, he is the God of what you've lost. But the best news is this, is he's not just the God of what you have, and he's not just the God of what you've lost. He is the God of what remains in your life. God will never take from you without leaving you something. God will never allow the enemy to take from you without leaving you something. The tree was chopped down. What was left? This protected stump wrapped in bronze. If God allows you to lose anything, you can have confidence to know that he has left something behind, because he is the God of what remains. And I believe that God is going to birth something out of what you have left that is going to directly influence your future, your position, your ministry, your anointing, your passion for God, right? And in some cases, you needed to lose the thing that you lost in order for God's plan and purpose to be fulfilled in your life. God will bless his children, not out of what you've lost, but out of what remains. And here's the hard truth. If God lets you lose everything, you did not need it to accomplish his plan and his purpose for your life. It hurt. Some of you have lost everything. I know of some of you who have lost everything, and it hurt. I know it did. But you're still here. Amen? Yep. You didn't lose it all, right? If life or sickness or death takes from you or your family, God always leaves something left behind while you are grieving the thing that you lost. And if you will hold on to your faith, if you will hold on to your faith, God would say to you, I will take what's left and fulfill my plan and my purpose in your life. If you hold on to me, if you don't give up, I can take what remains and work it for your good. There are so many examples in this room. You would know, you've been right there, and you know exactly what I'm talking about because you are there, right? You lost something. You didn't lose God. Somebody left you. God didn't leave you. No. The grave may have taken from you someone that you loved dearly, but something still remains. Do not lose your faith over something that you lost. Don't quit. Don't quit. It's too important. As a believer, you can't lose if you don't quit. That's right. Don't quit. Why would you let the enemy take that from you, right? Everything is temporal. Everything is temporal. We all lose things out of our lives. And as soon as we can come to terms with that, it's gone. God, it's gone, right? As soon as we can come to terms with that and realize, like, we're all going to lose things out of our lives, right? You come to terms with that, and you pick up the pieces of what God has left behind. God will use what remains to give you purpose again. You might have lost something precious, but you didn't lose your purpose, because God is the God of what remains. I have several biblical examples. Noah. Noah had to come to terms with the fact that if God needed the wicked society to fulfill his plan and his purpose in the earth, he wouldn't have had to destroy them. And the miracle is not in how many wicked people lost their lives. The miracle is in the 8 that survived. And it was what remained, these 8 that remained, that God's will, his plan, and his purpose was fulfilled in the earth. Right? Jesus said, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, and any time he comes into your life to take from you or destroy something from you, God will use what's left. Let's say by sin you open the door to the devil. Oh, and he has been dancing all through your life, wreaking havoc, messing up decades of faithful service to the Lord. Okay, what do I do now? You better pay attention. You better pay attention, because God is going to use what's left if you don't quit. Because God is the God of what remains. If you lose people out of your life, God's saying, I'm still your God, and I'm the God of what remains. Don't lose your faith, because I will bless what's left. Satan receives a permission note from God when he's attacking Job. And we need to listen to this carefully, because this gives us some insight about how these things work in the spirit and still work in the spirit, and I'll prove it to you. God is the God of what remains. Satan comes to God and says, the only reason Job serves you and loves you is because you've blessed him so much. And God agrees. He's like, I have blessed Job so much. So let's do this. Let's take down hedge number 1, because I do have a hedge of protection around his life, and let's put up hedge number 2. You can take his stuff, but you cannot touch his body. And so Satan attacks Job, right? And he loses his livestock, his wealth, his business is gone. And Job still stands and says, the Lord gives and the Lord takes away. Well, the devil didn't like that. So he goes back to God and he says, well, if you let me attack his body, if you let me make him sick, he will curse you to your face. And God says, okay. Let's take down hedge number 2 and let's put up hedge number 3. You can afflict his body, but you cannot kill him. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what horrible thing has happened to us, honestly, because God is the God of what remains. And you might not think that things still work like that in the spirit, but we got a little confirmation from my wife, who was giving our transition. And we didn't talk about this when she was talking about Peter. You remember the conversation Jesus had with Peter right before he denied him? Peter, Satan has asked to sift you like wheat, but I've prayed for you that your faith would remain, and that when you return, because he knew he would fall, that you would strengthen your brothers. Listen, the Lord gives, the Lord takes, right? We can still trust him. We can still trust him. And I know it's an incredibly difficult thing to face, because we all hate to lose things. I do, right? And I think we spend so much emotional time and energy running scenarios in our heads of the what ifs that create so much fear and anxiety in our lives, of the economy and the turmoil, and what if I lose my job, and what if I lose my home and my car and my stuff, and what if my spouse leaves and she takes the stop, just stop that. That's awful. No, he's still your God. You might lose all those things. You're not going to lose your father, right? Every time the devil tries to destroy you, your God leaves a hedge up in your life, and it's what remains that is going to frustrate the devil's plans. What did Peter have? A little bit of faith. That's all he had left. He abandoned everything that he knew to be true about his Savior, Jesus Christ. But he came back, right? Because all he had left was his faith. Here's what I know to be true about this world, is that it is broken and we broke it. God created this as a perfect, sinless society. And then when we, through Adam and Eve, introduced sin into it, it changed everything. We did it. We changed everything. Now, if you lose something, either material or this relationship, something that you didn't think that you could live without, right? If sickness or death or disease takes from you, listen, none of that existed in the beginning. None of that existed until man introduced sin into the equation, right? And now, if we live long enough, you will experience loss. All of us will. What did Jesus say? Hey, in this world, you're going to have trouble, right? But take heart. Why? Because he's overcome the world. It's okay. I don't think the worst thing, though, would be losing what is most important and valuable in my life. I've never lost someone that is really, really close to me, but I have to believe that that wouldn't be the worst thing. The worst thing would be that if I didn't have my God to sustain me through it. Right? The world doesn't have that comfort. The world doesn't have that peace. They have to live with despair and death. And they have to deal with that on their own. I do a lot of funerals. I do not like doing a funeral. But in every funeral, there's only two kinds. Those with hope and without hope. That's it. And I've done funerals, and there was no hope in the room except for what the Lord brought. And I tell everybody, you want me to do your funeral, you're getting the gospel, whether they knew Jesus or not, right? Because he is the God of what remains. For us, we know that God is close to the brokenhearted, and he hears and he answers the cries of his people. We've been studying the book of Revelation, and we just read a few weeks ago about the elders around the throne holding these bowls of incense, which are the prayers of God's people. Mama, don't quit praying. I am a result of my mother on her knees crying out to God for my soul. I was awful. Come home 17 years old, late at night, on the moon I was that high, hearing my mom on her knees crying my name out before Jesus. Right? That'll get to you. Not only like in the physical, like that's my mama crying for me. The Lord used that, right? Don't quit praying. Moms, don't quit praying. Dads, lead your family. Lead your family in the truth. Take them, not only take them to church, lead them in the truth, okay? Satan wants nothing more than for the thing that you lost to sideline you, for you to, if you will, take off your jersey and retreat to the stands and you're like, well, because of what happened, like me and God were okay. Me and Beth were there. Me and God were okay, but we're done. Like, we're done. We're not going to try anymore. It's too hard, right? People are awful. We're not going to do it anymore. Satan wants nothing more than for that to happen. Hey, I'll see you in heaven. Y'all go work. Y'all go do the work of the ministry and do the stuff. I'll see you there because I'm still a Christian, right? He wants nothing because what are you now? Useless to the kingdom of God. He's taken your voice. And you might think, oh, well, God, it's all church hurt. It was just church hurt is all it was. What even is that, right? Do you have work hurt when your boss chews you out? What? Come on, grow up. We are the body of Christ. And God has put the body of Christ together. He has intricately formed not only you, but this body of Christ. There's so many churches walking around looking like an amputee victim. Body parts missing. Gone. Oh, I got hurt. Grow up. Come on. There's too much on the line. If God has you in this house, you are to be in this house. And here's what I tell my church. Everything that God gives us, we hold with an open hand. He's free to put it in. He's free to move it on. Keeps it from getting weird. You ever been to a church and you're trying to leave and you're like, no, don't go. Right? Go. If God's calling you to go. And I tell my church, and I'm brutally honest, if you are being called to another house and you're not going, you're going to find my size 13 in your rear end helping you go. Because we are the body of Christ. And we need to be where God has placed us, not because I got my feelings hurt and I'm going somewhere else. None of that's in my notes. I don't know where that came from. All right. Bless the Lord. Maybe he sent me here to say that. I don't know. Here's what I do know. When you get hurt, you need a time of healing and restoration. Don't quit. Don't quit. Come on, right? Don't let what happened to you diminish your potential. If anything, because of what you experienced, now you're better equipped to help somebody else who's going to be going through the same thing. God sent somebody to you. in your darkest hour, to hold your arms up, to be your armor bearer, to speak the words of life that you desperately needed to hear. Now you might be thinking back, no, he didn't. Yeah, he did. You might have rejected it, but he sent somebody. And now if you're in that position and you're like, oh, whoa, he did. Yes, this is how God's economy works. Now you're better equipped to help somebody else who's going through the exact same thing. Yes. Right? Because he is the God of what remains. And he is the God that remains. He didn't leave you, and he never will. He never will. Maybe the wound is so fresh you just can't. You just can't. And you're like, Dave, go back to Virginia. Just go. This is awful. I know. Because when you have that wound and somebody's poking it, what? Stop it. Stop. It's hurt. It hurts. It's too painful. It's too fresh. It's too raw. I get that. I was there. I know that, right? Don't quit. Don't quit. Some of you may be months and years removed from this thing that happened to you, and you're finally at the place where you're like, okay, God, I'm not going to quit. And if you are the God of what remains, let's do this. Let's go. Here's what I have left. This is all I've got left. Can you use this? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And you're beginning the process of walking back into your passion and back into the anointing that God, that never left you. You might have walked away, but God never left. And some of you may be years or decades or a couple of decades on the other side of the worst season of your life, and you did not quit, and you remained faithful, and you know that God is the God of what remains. You've proven it, and he's proven it. Job said, what I always feared has happened. What I always feared has happened to me. What I dreaded the most has come true. I have no peace. I have no rest. Only trouble comes. And he curses the day that he was born. He thought he lost it all, but he hadn't. And it's what you have left that's going to frustrate the devil's plans. Don't quit. Is there anything left? Is there a little bit of praise on the inside of you? Just a little bit, right? When you get into the presence of God, and the Holy Spirit's like, come on. I haven't left. I haven't gone anywhere. Come on, just go. Let's just go. Come on, let's go back all in with me. Is there any praise that's going to well up on the inside of you? Is there any hope left on the inside of you? Is there any hope left of that dream that he gave you years and years ago? Is there any hope whatsoever? If there is, that's what God's going to use to frustrate the devil's plans in your life, okay? What did Job have left? He lost his resources, his friends, his wife had turned on him. All he had left was his confidence and his faith to make this statement, Job 13:15, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. One translation says, God might kill me, but I have no other hope. In other words, not even heaven can shake my confidence in heaven. Wow. Even when it feels like this, you have to remember that God is too good to forsake you. He's too faithful to leave you, and he's too precious to abandon you. And when all is said and done, and you didn't quit, and you walked through that fire, that refiner's fire, what's left on the other side of that? Pure. Pure. Ready for service. Ready for the Lord, right? Even if all you have left is breath in your lungs and God on your side, you have enough to accomplish God's plan for your life. And I think God would say of Job, buddy, you think you lost it all? You haven't. And it's what you have left that's going to produce a harvest and a purpose. We've also been studying Gideon, my favorite Old Testament guy. Well, Gideon didn't see God as very trustworthy or faithful because Gideon had been in a season and the Israelites had been in a season of rebellion against God, and then God had pulled back his blessing and his anointing and his covering on his people. And year after year after year after year, they were invaded by a terrorist organization called the Midianites. The Israelites would work and sow and right at payday, the Midianites would sweep in and literally rape and pillage and destroy everything that they had worked all year for. everything for 7 years. And then the angel of the Lord appears to Gideon. Interesting place he was in. He was threshing wheat in a wine press. Not supposed to do that. That's for wine. Why? Because he was in hiding. They were terrified. And the angel of the Lord shows up to Gideon and says, "Greetings, mighty warrior." No. He's a nobody from nowhere. He's hiding out, grinding wheat in a wine press. How do you even do that? I don't know. "Greetings, mighty warrior." You got some explaining to do. Okay. Basically, God says, "I am going to use you to deliver the Israelites out of the hand of Midian. Again, you got some work to do. Go gather an army." And so he does. 32,000. 32,000 strong. Wow. Against 350,000. Okay. You're like, "We can do this with the Lord." And the Lord's like, "That's too many. That's still too many. How about go and tell everybody, if you're afraid, just go home. Just go home. It's okay. No hard feelings. We're not going to talk about you behind your back. Well, Bob will, but we'll shut him up. Everybody else, just go home, right? It's fine." 22,000 men left. Okay, that's a lot. How many's left? 10,000. "We can do it." What are those odds? Me and math are not friends. Want 10,000 against 350,000? 3.5%? Did I get that right? I think that's right. Okay. That's the Lord. That's the Holy Spirit. Honestly, C student on my best day. Worked hard every C I ever got in my life, right? Best day. Where are my A students? Where are you at? Raise your hand. Raise your hand. We hate you. We hate you. Right? It just came so easy, didn't it? Beth's talking to me from the front row. She said, "Move on." Okay. I mathed that, though, pretty good. Well, listen, another test. 9,700 fail that next test. They got 300 people left. 300 people against 350,000. God's like, "Perfect." It's perfect. And in Judges 7, he says, "By what remains, I will deliver the Midianites into your hand." What in the world is God doing, right? Why did he keep reducing? Because he's not just the God of what you have. 32,000. He's not just the God of what you've lost. He's the God of what remains. And he can use what remains. Gideon, don't worry about what you've lost. I'm going to use what you have left. Samson, this guy, wow. Lost his anointing, his reputation, his influence, his position. Fellas, his hair. Anybody? Mine's hanging on for some reason. His power, his freedom. His vision, Samson lost everything, it would seem. But God would say to Samson, the miracle is not in what you lost. The miracle is in what you have left. What do you have left? The Bible says his hair began to grow. Do you know where God begins the miracle? Right here. Right here in your head. Okay? Think about it. What does Scripture tell us? Capture every thought. Bring it under the submission and the lordship of Jesus Christ. Why? Because when you stop capturing these wicked thoughts that the devil's going to throw at you all the time, and these thoughts make it into your head, and then they work their way into your heart, it's only a matter of time before it works itself out on your flesh. 100% of the time. You know what that looks like in the spirit? Capturing every thought. Okay, Lord, is that from you? No. That, no. That one, okay, right? No. It's swatting flies. That's what it looks like in the spirit. No. Get away. No. In Jesus' name, no. Hey, some of y'all fly swatter broken. And you wonder why you got so much anxiety and fear and sin in your life. Hey, get mad at me. I'm going back to Virginia after we eat Mandarin today. I don't care. That's just the truth. Capture every thought. The miracle begins in your head. Restoration begins in your head when you continue, because you didn't quit, to stand on the promises of God and say, God, I don't have much left. All I've got is you. And I've not lost my faith, right? And you have everything I need. And I refuse to crawl in a hole and die. In Exodus chapter 9, God told Moses, take two handfuls of dirt, of ash, two handfuls of ash, and throw it towards heaven. Ash is the only thing you have left after the fire has come and burned it out of your life. Moses, take two handfuls of ash and send it towards heaven. He does. The Lord multiplied it. It covered Egypt, afflicting the Egyptian army with boils all over their body. God's like, I can use anything, even if it's just the ash that's left after the fire has burned it out of your life. I can use it all. Don't quit. Don't quit. You can't lose if you don't quit. Just throw it back up in praise. I love King David and all of his crazy stories. In 1 Samuel chapter 30, it talks about David and his 600 fighting men. They return home to Ziklag only to find it's completely devastated, burned to the ground. All of the livestock, all of their family has been taken. His men weren't happy. And there's talks of stoning David. But he doesn't fear. He prays. And God says, well, just go get it. Just go get it. But he didn't tell him where to look. I love that part. Because in your whole life, in your whole life, I tell my church this all the time, there's this if-then situation your entire life. If you do your part, then that opens up God to do his part. God made the first move, ultimately, by sending Jesus Christ to this earth to be our Lord and Savior. It's your move. If you've never trusted in Jesus as your Lord, it's your move. God made the first move. If, now then, now it's your move, okay? If then. If we will do our part, God will do his part. So David had some work to do. All right, God, you said, go get it. That's the if, you will go get it. Now then, I'm going to go search for answers. And they walked upon came upon a stranger, and in 1 Samuel 30:13, it says, then David said to him, to whom do you belong? And where are you from? And he said, I'm a young man from Egypt, servant of an Amalekite, and my master left me behind, because 3 days ago I fell sick. And then he goes on to say, and we burned Ziklag to the ground. This Egyptian was left behind. This Egyptian was what remained. And God is the God of what remains. And God was able to use the information this Egyptian gave him, and David was able to go and bring restoration to his entire family, right? Why? Because he's never leaving you. He's never forsaken you, right? When the enemy comes in like a flood to steal, kill, and destroy, God always, always, always has another hedge of protection around you. Always. You still got breath in your lungs? It's there. You woke up today, got a pulse. He's protecting you because you're his kids, if you're his kids. The woman with the issue of blood lost everything, lost all of her finances, her health, her hope, and doctors. What was the only thing she had left? Faith. It's the only thing she had left. And she said, if I can just touch the hem of his garment, then I'll be made whole, because God is the God of what remains. The widow woman in 2 Kings goes to the prophet and says, I'm losing everything. The creditors are coming to take my sons. And the prophet's like, well, what do you have left? Well, I've got this bowl of oil. And God uses that and he multiplies that to take care of her entire future, because God is the God of what remains. What do you have left? Give it to him. That's all he wants. What is it? You've got something left. Maybe, like many, and our church is full of people who have come through active addiction and divorce, many in grief, you've lost a spouse, you've lost kids, right? God's saying to you, I'm the God of what you have left. I'm the God of what remains. And you might say, I have messed up so bad. There's no way that he would ever take me back. That was me. I'm a prodigal from way back. I'm familiar with you, if that's you. Okay? Look around. What do you have left? What do you have left after the carnage that Satan has caused in your life because of your choices, because you stopped swatting flies and you let that stuff work its way out into your flesh? What's left? What's left? I still believe in God. Okay. I still want Jesus to forgive me of my sins. I still want him to save me, right? That's faith, okay? Put that faith and trust in him, because God will use that, right? Dave, I feel like I'm in a pit and I can't get out. God's in the pit with you. He didn't leave you, right? He's not saying, come on, jump. You can do it in your own effort. No. He gets in the mud with you. And he grabs your hand. And he puts your feet on solid ground. Because he loves you. And he's never leaving you. Just give it to God. If our musicians would come. In Ezekiel 37, the prophet is asked by God as he stood in the valley of dry bones. The Bible says these bones were dead. They were dead. They were dry. And God asks Ezekiel, can these bones live? Ezekiel didn't have a very faith-filled response. He says, You know if they can. This is the prophet Ezekiel talking to God. In other words, I don't know. I don't know if I have the faith or the passion to believe. Ask yourself, what's left? What's left in your life? What is it? Can this dream live again? Can your marriage live again? Can this wound in your heart be healed? Can it? There's no faith or passion in Ezekiel. Like, God comes to Ezekiel and he puts him in this impossible situation. It's an impossible situation. It's impossible. Put yourself there, right? Hey, can these dry bones? I don't know. I don't know if they can live or not. So what did he do? He spoke the words that God commanded him to speak. And if you will speak the word of God over your life anyway, regardless of what you've gone through, regardless of your experience, regardless of the pain and the hurt that you have felt, even if there's no passion in your soul, if you will speak the word of God anyway, watch what he does. Because this is what Ezekiel does. All Ezekiel had in him was this one moment of obedience. And in Ezekiel 37:7, so I spoke this message just as he commanded me. Suddenly, as I spoke, there was a rattling noise all across the valley. The bones of each body came together and attached themselves as complete skeletons. Then, as I watched, muscles and flesh formed over the bodies, the skin formed to cover their bodies, but they still had no breath in them. And I want you to notice how his heart changes here and his tone when he says, then he said to me, speak a prophetic message to the winds, son of man. Speak a prophetic message and say, this is what the sovereign Lord says. Come, O breath from the four winds, breathe into these dead bodies so that they might live again. So I spoke the message that he commanded me, and breath came into their bodies, and they all came to life, and they stood up on their feet, a great, great army. And when this worship band sang, all the earth will shout your praise, our hearts will cry, these what? Bones will sing, great are you, Lord. Great are you, Lord. You might be in a place this morning where all you have left are these dry bones, where it feels like the Lord has stripped everything away from you, or by sin you've had everything stripped away from you. Listen to me, God is the God of what remains. And if all you have left are these dry bones, obey God. Obey God, and you will see him do a miracle in your life. God said of Job in Job 8, hey, though your beginning was small, yet your latter end would increase abundantly. So, King Nebuchadnezzar was restored. The stump held, and restoration came. Our Savior, Jesus Christ, was cut down on a cross, the cross of Calvary, and everything seemed lost. But what remained? His body in a borrowed tomb. And God is the God of what remains, and life came rushing back into him, and he walked out of that dead place, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And because he lives, I can live, right? Because the dead places in my life can now live. One last thing. God is far from being done with you. You might think he is. And you might think through your choices he is, and you might think through your choices you have eternally disqualified. No, no, no. God is far from being done from you, and if you have experienced great loss, I'm so sorry. I walk people through this all the time, and you do need to grieve, and you do need to mourn, but I'm telling you, and I'm begging you to believe that God's plan and his purpose will be fulfilled in your life if you don't quit. Because we can't lose if we don't quit. Give it to God. Give it to God. Let me pray for you. Father God, we love you today. So incredibly grateful and humbled to be in this house, God, to be among your people, God. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that you're moving and that you're speaking to our hearts and into our lives. Father God, I pray that whatever it is, God, that you have put your finger on in our hearts, God, that that's the thing that we would have the courage to address again. Or that's the thing that we would have the courage to address anyway, in spite of what's happened, in spite of what our friends and family have said. Just like Job, it's like, what's the use? Well, God's not done with me. That's the use. God is not done. God, I pray for strength. I pray for confirmation today. I pray for confirmation for those who are seeking you, earnestly seeking you, God, for answers. You're not afraid of our questions. And that's what's so amazing about you, God. You're not intimidated by our fear and our failures, because you don't go anywhere. You're the God who remains. And I thank you for that truth. Church, no one looking around. I don't ever end a message without giving someone an opportunity to give their life to Jesus Christ. There's just too much on the line. It feels like these days are coming to an end and there's no more time to wait. Listen, Jesus Christ said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father unless they come through me. And they killed him for it. They killed him for saying it because he was claiming to be God, which he was. We know that eternity exists on the very next side of your last breath, and it's heaven or hell. And you get to choose where you go. You get to choose where you go. Listen to me very carefully. Eternity is billions and billions and billions of years. We have no frame of reference for how long it is. Here's what we know, though, is if we do not make this decision in this life while we have breath in our lungs in this life to give our lives to Jesus Christ, listen, if you don't choose Jesus in this life, you will not get him in the next. So I'm not going to embarrass anybody. I'm not even going to call you down to the front. No one's looking but me. I just want to know, is there anyone here that you would say, I need Jesus to save me today? Would you just raise your hand with me? Is there anyone here this morning? Amen. Amen. Thank you, God. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you. Thank you. Yes, sir. Just so grateful for you. We're so incredibly grateful for you. I want to lead us in a prayer. We do this every week at Christ Chapel in Galax. It's a prayer we say out loud. We say it every week. We don't say it out loud to get re-saved every week, but I just want you to know that if you're saying this prayer for the first time or the first time in a really long time, man, we're so proud of you and we're so excited that you've chosen today to give your life to Jesus Christ. So church family, all together, out loud, would you repeat after me? Dear Jesus, I believe that you are the Son of God. I believe that you died on the cross for my sins. I believe that you rose from the grave and that you're in heaven today preparing a home for me. Jesus, please forgive me for all of my sins. Save me today and help me to live for you every day of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Can we worship the Lord this morning? Praise God. Amen. Here's what I want you to know about that prayer. Those words, they're not magic words. Those words in and of themselves have no power. However, when you add what the Bible calls that measure of faith to believe that God has given each and every one of us, when you put your faith and your trust in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and listen, as you continue to figure it out. Paul, what did Paul say? Work it out. Work out your salvation every single day. Here's how we say it in Galax. Just do the next right thing. Well, what is that? You got to figure that out. Because every single day, sometimes every moment of every day, there's right, there's wrong, indifferent. Use the right one. Just choose the right one. Because as you're choosing to do the next right thing for God, you're going to find yourself right in the middle of His will, walking out His plan and purpose for your life. Amen? It's a little different, but I've asked the band to come up and sing that last song again because it just so perfectly tied in to these dead bones. Come on. These dead bones that He wants to use. Is that all you have left? He can use it. He can use it. Amen? They can live again. They can breathe again. Don't quit. Because you can't lose if you don't quit. Would you guys stand?
I love you, bring light to the darkness. You give hope, you restore every heart that is broken. Great are you, Lord. It's your breath.
I love.
Anybody got some dry bones? You're not going to quit, right? Not going to quit. You can't lose if you don't quit. Here's what I tell my church every week. If you prayed that prayer with us today and you gave your life to Jesus Christ, you have one job for the rest of your life. That's it. One job. Tell somebody. Tell somebody. You might be old as dirt. You got one job. If the Holy Spirit is alive on the inside of you, tell somebody. Here's why we know that. Jesus Christ, before he left this earth, he looks at his disciples and he says, fellas, everywhere you go, preach this gospel. Gospel, all it means is good news. Is it the best news today? Amen. It's the best news. Are you eternally grateful somebody did their job and told you of this gospel? Right? We know this gospel is true because here we are thousands of years later on the other side of the planet worshiping that same Jesus. Amen? Oh, if this was fake, it wouldn't have lasted a decade. Come on. You might not believe that. And I'm praying for that measure of faith that my Bible says you have on the inside of you. That one day, as the Holy Spirit keeps chipping away at that hard heart, you're going to give in one day, one day. It's going to be the best day of your life. And if you prayed that prayer with us today to give your life to Jesus, I want to be the first to tell you, happy birthday. Amen. Born again. Name written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Come on. One job. Don't forget, you got one job.
Told you. My takeaway, the God that remains and the God of what remains. I want to give you just a moment to prepare. Just hear my heart on this. You know, since the Lord graciously paid off our building, we have a thing called Kingdom Builders. And what we pay to the banks for all those years, we give to ministries outside of this house, to Save a Life Foundations and Unwed Mothers and the poor and the wells in Africa and stuff. Do you got an inkling that Christ Chapel Galax might be a wonderful investment to give to? I want to encourage you, if you can today, whether it's through the tags on the back of the chairs and the app, or during our benediction, and the reason, man, we've done prayed, we've heard the word, but it'll give you time to write your check if you just say, Christ Chapel Galax. And I just want to send Dave and Beth on the way with a token of our belief in them and the work that they're doing. So during our benediction song, if you want to come here, and we're going to have baskets. Guys, if you'll empty two baskets and be standing at the door, and you can give there as well. We want to send them on the way. Were you grateful for the word of God this morning? Amen. And I know we didn't necessarily have to have another song, but I wanted this for Dave and Beth as well. So, guys, will you play our benediction for us?
May the Lord grant you peace, and may his love shine down. Love shine down and meet your every need, and keep your feet from stumbling, and fix your eyes on the mark, yes, on the prize as you go. May you rest in Christ and receive his grace to love all men in spite of all our differences. May your words be filled with life that crumbles walls of fear and pride. Take up the cross to serve the least and the lost. go in peace.
May the Lord bless and keep you, and will cause His face to shine upon you, give you rest as well. On your way out, ushers, are we there? Have we got baskets at the two doors? We're good? Okay. Thank you, church family. God bless you, Dave and Beth. We love you.